Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Tiffany Thompson is the founder and CEO of It's All About You Ministry International, located in Chicago, Illinois. She was born and raised on the west side of Chicago. Anointed by the Lord Jesus Christ, she is gifted to reach people of various backgrounds and nationalities. She is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ with a strong prophetic call on her life. It's All About You Ministry was given to her by way of the Holy Spirit in January 2005 from out of her home. She has touched the lives of many, whether in local churches, street corners, or workplace. Her ultimate goal is to advance the kingdom of God. She is an entrepreneur, writer, poet, and motivational speaker, all for the kingdom of God. Tiffany Thompson has received a certificate from the Samuel School of Prophets under the instructor, Apostle Raphael Robinson, CEO, founder of Word Kingdom. And now, without further ado, here's Miss Tiffany Thompson.
Amen, amen. Thank you for the applause, as usual. Amen, thank you. Thank you. Welcome to It's All About You radio show. Amen, we want to thank you for every listener, every faithful listener that's on the show tonight, that's listening even now. We just want to say thank you. Hey, man, how are you, Dennis?
I'm doing wonderful.
That's good.
God is good, man. I'm just taking on the journey, man, being faithful and keep on moving, you know what I mean?
Yeah, amen. Hey, man, how was your week?
Oh, man, it's going. Yeah, new transition, man. You know, when you're going through a new transition and new change, you know, you got to beat your body up. You got to beat your flesh up in order to know that you're here for a greater good, a greater purpose. It kind of make you feel like you're alive again, you know?
Uh-huh.
That's how you know you're in your change. That's how you know you're in your you know, you're going through your path. You know, they say the path is narrow. Only a few may follow it. They may find it.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's called discipline.
That's right.
That's called discipline. Amen. Amen. Well, again, welcome to It's All About You radio show for all the listeners. Tonight we have a surprise special guest with us by an awesome man of God, an author by the name of Riley Mayberry. He's actually also one of the pastors that's in my church, I'm proud to say, All Nations Worship Assembly, with my pastor, Dr. Matthew Stevenson III. I just want to, man, I'm really so excited. I'm ready to get him on and just do what we need to do because I'm just excited. The Holy Spirit really led me to talk to him. We just did a long conference, a weekend conference, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Then we had church Sunday. So, yeah, I can stay long because we've been in the presence of the Lord all weekend. But I'll tell you, it was good. It was awesome. It was powerful. And I'm just grateful. And while we were doing these conferences, you know, the Holy Spirit was just showing me things and on what he want to do, you know, what he want to do with us, what he want to do with the body of Christ, what he want to do with the church. And so I said, you know what? And he showed me this great man of God. And I said, well, God, I have no clue. I don't even know his testimony or anything. And the Lord said, good. Good. Now you can trust me and be led by me.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, yeah, so I'm excited. I am very, very, very excited. He just wrote a book called Slaying the Giant, and just looking at the cover of the book, you know, it looks powerful and awesome, you know. So I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for him accepting the invitation, you know, to spread the gospel of Christ, to empower someone, encourage someone, and let them know that they can make it. Let them know that they can make it, and I'm grateful for that. Yep, this is this is actually what our fourth month with all, It's All About You radio show. And I'm telling you, every week it's getting better and better. I'm talking about God gets, I want to say, gooder and gooder. And we know that's not a word, but he's just good. He's good, and he's good all the time. He's good all the time.
Amen.
So are we ready to bring him on, or are we still waiting?
Well, actually, I think more so, yeah, I mean, he's ready to come on. You should just give like a quick recap from last week, and then we can go right into it.
Yeah, I was going to do that. Yeah, I was going to do that. I just didn't want him, you know, holding
forever. Yeah, he's ready.
Okay, amen. I just want to introduce him to the world before we go into our prayer and our commercial.
Okay, not a problem.
Amen.
All right. Whenever you're ready, you can introduce him.
Amen.
So we have Riley Mayberry.
Yes, I'm here. God bless you all.
God bless you, too. God bless you. Thank you so much. Yes.
Thank you so much for having me tonight.
Oh, no, not a problem at all. I'm so excited about what God is doing. I'm so excited about God, what God is doing. We were just letting the audience know who we were having on tonight. And before we just tap off into that, all month, actually, since the month of October, we've just been in prayer. We've just been doing, you know, teaching on prayer, talking about prayer, and interceding for the guests and the listeners as they call in. And so tonight, so we've done that for the last few weeks. So tonight, I want to still stay in that vein, but yet I want them to know that, you know, I want them to hear this testimony, and I want them to identify, because sometimes we can have a struggle without identifying what the struggle may be. And listen to your powerful testimony, and you talk about your book and your DVD, that will help someone that's listening identify if it's not them, a family member, a friend, whatever it is. They can grab the impartation and carry it on and use it, utilize it, apply it, you know, to their lives. So even in that, we still want to keep the prayer going. We still want to keep the prayer going. So we want the listeners to know that they can feel free at any given time to hit the one button if you have a question or if you want to, if you desire prayer.
Amen.
So what we're going to do, we're going to open up in prayer, and we're going to take a small commercial break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to hear from the powerful man of God, Riley Mayberry, the author of Slaying the Giant.
Amen.
So, Father, even now, we just want to say thank you, Lord. We acknowledge you today, God. You said to acknowledge you in all our ways, and you will direct our path, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this night, Father. We thank you for this man of God, Father, that God desires for you to use him like never before, God, that Father gives himself unto you, Father, just to see your people free, just to see your people delivered, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we decree and declare that this word will not fall on stony ground, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that it will be powerful, Father, as your word says, powerful as a two-edged sword, or sharp as a two-edged sword, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father. Father, we pray that, Father, all stony ground be broken up on tonight, that, Father, someone's heart, mind, and spirit be enlightened, Father, in the name of Jesus. Take them to a new level. Take them to new dimensions, Father. Open up their mind and heart, Father. Give them new revelation, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I decree and declare also, God, that they will not draw back, Father, but, Father, they will come forth, Father, and that they will receive the impartation. They will receive the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding, Father, that you are giving them on tonight, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. And, Father, we pray that your fire consume and burn up everything that's not of you, God, in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, release your angels, your warring angels, and your ministering angels, Father, on tonight, Father, to work on our behalf, in Jesus' mighty name, God. And we thank you that it is so, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Please visit the website www.itsallaboutyoumagazine.com. That's www.itsallaboutyoumagazine.com. To be placed in a magazine, get an ad, newsletter, or article. Publisher Tiffany Thompson also has a ministry. Visit that site at www.itsallaboutyoumintl.org. That's www.itsallaboutyoumintl.org for more information on events or speaking engagements. The Western Worldwide Network has never been easier to connect with Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and WesternWorldwide.com. Until now, by using our mobile app, just log on to www.westernworldwide.com and click yes to the mobile app. That's it. That's all. One button does it all. WesternWorldWide.com.
What's up, people, man? It's your boy Dennis Live. Hey, check it out, man. We just asking that you know, go download that mobile app. Go to Google Play Store. It's absolutely free. Key search WesternWorld1.com. It's WesternWorldOne. That's all you gotta type in. It's free. And also too, man, we added a new feature, man. It's the donation button. All we doing is just asking you people, hey, you know, donate to us. We're gonna take that and we're gonna put all proceeds towards Western World One Network to make it better, to make it easier for you guys to view us, listen to us online, and pretty much we're going to take this to YouTube so that way you can kind of see who we are and what we do and how we do and how we operate. Other than that, man, thank you so much for even just hitting that button and just clicking following us, hitting that button just to show that you do like on Facebook or even just Instagram. You just pretty much just showing us, man, how much the growth that we have developed over the years. Actually, not years, months. We only been up not even 6 months, right? A little bit longer than 6 months, whatever, I don't know. But anyway, man, that's all we want you to do, man. Download that app, WesternWorld1.com. You can go there or Google Play Store, key search Western World One. Or you can follow us on here, man. Man, thank you so much, man. Again, all the donations that you do donate to us, you know, it will not go into shambles, man. We're going to take that and we're going to utilize that, man, to the best of our knowledge, man. As you can see, we had added three additions to the Western World One Network. We got Tiffany Thompson, what she's doing, the Spiritual Wednesdays, where she's going to take the Bible-based information, scriptures out of the Bible, and she's going to use it in our everyday lifestyle and things that we can do. Then you got Thursday with DJ Disco, one of the hottest pioneer DJs all over the world, man. I mean, this boy here, man, is just, man, phenomenal, man. This boy just get on that music, man, and play it like there's no other. Then you got Sundays with Charles Baxter, where he's talking about political things of whatever's happening up today. Self-help, motivation, what you can do with yourself, how you can implement things. I mean, we're just doing it all, man. You already liking us on Facebook. The fan base is tremendously growing. But all we have asked for you to do now is to just donate to us. You know, you go there, hit the donation button. We go through PayPal. It's real simple, real easy. Just whatever you want to contribute to us, we take it and we utilize it. We put all the proceeds towards Western World One Network. Again, thank you so much, man. It's your boy Dennis Live. Peace out.
Thank God. Amen. Okay, well, welcome back to It's All About You radio show. Again, I'm going to do a recap. Tonight we have a special guest, powerful man of God, awesome man of God. He's actually a pastor at my church, All Nations Worship Assembly, by the name of Riley Mayberry. And tonight he's going to talk to us about this awesome book that he's just written called Slaying the Giant. Slaying the Giant. He also has a DVD out. And I've heard by other apostles, you know, that this is a powerful testimony. And the thing about it was I heard it later after the Holy Spirit led me to him to do this interview. And so tonight I want to introduce to you all, to the world, to the listeners, author, pastor, father, leader, a man of God, Mr. Riley Mayberry. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much again for having me tonight. I count it an honor and a privilege to share with you.
Yes. Yes, yes. Well, tonight, tell us about what led you to write this powerful book and do this powerful DVD.
Amen. Well, the journey began with evangelist Pastor Linda Jernigan, who is an awesome woman of God. It's actually her DVD project that she allowed me to take part in. She works wonders with ex-homosexuals and those that desire deliverance from any form of sexual perversion. And so I just contacted her one day and told her that I was interested in learning more about how to share my testimony. And we actually ended up going out to, after some talking and some preparation, we went out to TLN Studios in Illinois, and we recorded the testimony there. And then we went over to Pastor Lavelle Hardy's church over on Stony Island, and we did a live DVD recording where we both share our testimonies. And so she allowed me to be featured on that recording where we're both sharing our testimonies of deliverance, hers from lesbianism and mine from homosexuality. And that led me up to today, where my pastor actually approached me about starting a small group at our church to help those who wanted ministry specifically for any type of sexual sin. So basically to help people walk through deliverance ministry for sexual sin in a more intimate setting within the church. And so I started developing the curriculum for it, and after I read over it and looked at it and the Holy Spirit continued to expand it, I got the idea to make it available to other churches, ministry leaders, pastors, and even individuals who would be interested in learning how to walk through deliverance from any form of sexual sin. And so I kind of just allowed that curriculum turn into a manual and turn into a whole God project, and it's been amazing so far. Those that have read it, those that have gone through it, I've received rave reviews about it, and so I'm excited about this ministry of deliverance just really spreading to the world. That's really my focus with this, creating a safe place within the church to help those who want to be delivered from any form of sexual sin. And so that's what got me to the place where I am now releasing this manual. I've already released it, releasing this manual and gotten this project going.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm excited already. Amen. That's
Amen.
Awesome. That's awesome because, you know, just listening to you and how God just led you one way to take one step and then all other doors just begin to swing open, you know, to really now you the need is just seeing the need, how this is so needed, and how did you get the courage? How did you gain the courage to come out?
You know what?
And say,
You know what? It really took a lot of time. I've been walking through my process of deliverance for just about 5 years now, and I'm 28. And so most of my life I lived with sexual perversion. I lived in this sin. And so it took a very long time for me to gain the courage to step out and to do it. But I realized once I got to a certain place in my journey of freedom, one of the things the Lord shared with me when I reached out to Pastor Linda Jernigan, and I mentioned her so much because she's been mentoring me through this process, when I reached out to her and shared my testimony with her, after our phone call, the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord said, you have to do this. You have to step out and do this because this is going to be the thing to solidify and to keep you in your journey through the rest of your journey for freedom. And so the Lord spoke clearly to me and just told me that I had to do it. And in that moment, it was almost like this courage and this boldness from heaven was released over me, and I thank God for it because it gave me the might and the strength that I needed to say, you know what, if it's going to mean, you know, other people being free, if it's going to mean stepping out and saying, I went through this so that you can now be free and so that you can now learn from the lessons that I've learned from, I'm willing to take whatever comes my way. And so it took a lot of praying, a lot of fasting, a lot of encouragement from my pastor, Dr. Matthew Stevenson, a lot of encouragement from my wife, a lot of going back asking my wife, are you sure you're ready for this? Are you sure you are comfortable with this? So it took some time, but I believe over time God just gave me the courage to say, hey, there are lives that are at stake. And it's been amazing because since I've actually stepped out and shared my testimony, I've received so many inquiries from people that I don't even know asking, how did you do it? People saying that they never have the courage and still don't really have the courage to talk about it and say that they struggle with it publicly, but they want to know how I obtain my freedom and how they can get to the place where they can obtain their freedom. And so hearing the testimonies of people just receiving a portion of healing and freedom just by me sharing gave me the strength to continue on and share my story and share my journey. So now I tell people, I'm an open book. Whatever you want to ask me, whatever you want to know about my struggles, ask me. Nothing is off limits. I'm here to set souls free.
Wow, 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 wow. Amen, amen, amen. I know how when you shared, when you begin to market the DVD and the book at church, the Holy Spirit was just in the house so powerful and so in such a powerful way. And at the time you were talking and you shared just a portion, just a small portion, I just began to weep, you know, because of his goodness, you know, because God is so good, because I just saw his power, you know, even as you were talking, I can just feel his power. And I'm just saying, and I was just so grateful, even though, you know, that was your deliverance, that was your testimony. I was just grateful for it. I was grateful for it. And what led me the most was it's a generation that God is after, you know, that people don't want to deal with anymore. You know, they feel like they're too bad, they're disrespectful, they're rebellious, they're just out of hand, you know. And, you know, and this generation openly, you know, has this spirit that wherever it came from, it may have come from molestation, and they may have been, you know, born that way. However it got there, they are so open and feel like that this is how they should live. You know, they feel like this is, if I was born like this or if this happened to me, then maybe this is just how I should be. You know,
right.
Can you share on that end?
Absolutely.
You know, okay.
Absolutely. You know, when my first homosexual experience, first of all, I can say from my childhood, I always felt like there was something that was different about me. I always felt like I was different than the other boys in my neighborhood, in my class, in my family. I was never really into sports. I was never really into, you know, I didn't have girlfriends. I wasn't popular. I was an introvert, extreme introvert. So I could sit in a room for 2-3 hours and you would never know I was there. And so that right there made me the center of ridicule. And I always tell people now, one of the most important aspects, because people ask me about my fathering my children and why I'm so close with my children, and I take pride in being with my children every day because I experience a tremendous amount of rejection and abandonment from my father at a very young age. My father was not around consistently in my life. It was kind of like I would see him once, and then that would go 5 years, and I would see him again, and that would be the extent of it. And so I experienced a tremendous amount of rejection and abandonment, feeling like, you know, maybe I wasn't good enough. Maybe there's a reason why. Maybe he knows that there's something different about me. So maybe that's why he does not want to be around me. And so when I went to school, the kids were starting to identify me as being gay and started to identify me with different cruel words and put me in this separate class of outcasts that really made it difficult for me through my school years. And so with those labels being placed on me, plus the rejection that I had suffered from my father, I believe that that played a major role in my entering into sexual perversion. And so I can identify with the people that say, I didn't ask for this. I can identify with the people that say, I was born with these feelings. Surely we believe as Christians that we are fearfully and wonderfully made and that we are created in the image and the likeness of God. But because of the fall of Adam and Eve, we were also born into sin. And so I do believe that you can be born with predispositions to certain things. You can be born with a predisposition to alcoholism. You can be born with a predisposition to same-sex attraction, because certainly at 7, 8 years old, I didn't ask to be attracted to the same sex. I knew that it was wrong, but I didn't ask for it. And so it was my choice to act on those feelings as I got older and then begin to dive deeper into that realm of perversion, and I made the conscious decision to do it. And so I definitely identify with the people that say, I was born this way, this is how I am, this is who I am, and there's no changing, because there were times in my deliverance process and in my walk where I felt like it was impossible for me to change, where it was impossible for me to be transformed, where it was impossible for me to be delivered. But I was delivered by the power of God, but it also took a lot of work, a lot of patience, a lot of long-suffering from the people around me. But I can definitely identify with those people when I say that it is not hopeless. You really just have to be willing to make the decision and put in the work.
Wow. Powerful. Wow. I'm just listening, and I'm just like, you know, God is so awesome because, you know, you just see so much. You grow up, you know, with so much, like you said, without a father, or even some may have a father in the house with them and still be rejected, you know, still spend no time with them. And I most definitely can identify with you when you say you spend time, because every time I look up, he has a picture on Facebook with him and his children. He's always spending time with his kids, and it's like he, you know, have some of the other kids, you know, but that's good, and because that's needed. It's so needed.
Absolutely.
It's so needed. And it reminds me of me visiting someone in Cook County Jail. They have a sign up on the wall that says, spend time with your kids while they're little. They show a picture when they're toddlers, when they're children. And then they have another, you know, and the rest of the sign says, so we won't have to.
Yes.
And then this is the visiting room that I'm visiting, you know, somebody behind the glass.
Wow.
And that means a lot, just what you're saying, you know, spending time. Time is everything. Time is everything. And we, you know, sometimes we fail as parents thinking that we just need to provide and just supply, and then that's just good enough. Can you let the parents that's listening know what it is they can do or what we need to do as parents? Because sometimes we don't even know, especially if we're in a single household And maybe it's the son that's in two, you know, has a mother and a father.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of my greatest memories, even from the difficulties in my childhood, was I always knew that my mother loved me and my mother cared about me. So in my instance, me not having my father really played a major role in my lacking security in my identity. It takes both parents, DNA from a male and a female, to create a human being. And so you definitely have to believe that there are components of a child's identity and personality that are shaped through the mother and the father. And so while I had that loving side from my mother, I can always remember lacking that shaping of my identity, my manhood, from my father. And so I've always said growing up that I would never leave my children to suffer like I suffered without my father. I would never leave my children to do that. And so parenting is one of the most important aspects of growing and maturing into adulthood. And parenting is more than just being in the household, because you can have a household where you have a mother and a father, but the children are still not being parented. You have to love your children. You have to talk to your children. You have to pray with your children. You have to be patient with your children. My wife and I, we started watching our children. And I can always remember I was in the heart of my struggle when my wife and I, we were married, and I had my first child, and I was still struggling with homosexuality, and it was kind of like things were getting worse. And I remember just looking at my son night after night, feeling like, oh, my God, what am I putting him through? And he's only 1 year old, but I know I'm opening up some things in the spirit realm to him. And so I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, what am I putting him through? And so when I think about parenting, I think about the importance of spending time, quality time, not just money, but quality time with your children. My wife and I, we pray actively with our children. When our children are experiencing, particularly my oldest son, because he was the most like me, he was shy, very hard to get along with a lot of people, demonstrating a lot of anger, just a lot of insecurities, very unsure of himself. If you laughed at him, even if he was telling a joke, he would kind of become angry because he would think you're making fun of him. And so instead of me lashing out or stepping back, I drew closer to him, and I started to affirm him. Affirmation is one of the most powerful tools that a parent can use to strengthen the identity of their children. I started to talk to my son about how smart he is and how handsome he is and how funny he is and just how wonderful he is, and it took some time. I had to do that day after day. I had to pray for him. I made my son and my daughter, I have three children. I have a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 6-year-old. My two oldest, we take them through prayers. We make them speak positive confessions over themselves, and we tell them what the words mean. So I make my daughter say, you are beautiful. You are a princess. You are not worthless. We make them confess these things because as a man thinketh, so is he. And so if we can embed these things in their heart and make them start to believe it, then we are shaping their identity to believe, I am beautiful, I am intelligent, I am strong. So we're not depending on the television to raise them. We are not depending on other people and other avenues to raise them. We are actively working to parent our children. And so to the parents that's listening, I have to remind you that you are the ones that have the responsibility of shaping the identity and the personality of your children. And though there may be aspects of their behavior that you are not proud of, and you'll say, well, I taught them better than that, and I taught them this, and I gave them that, and they're still going in this way and still doing this thing, you have to continue to love them and continue to speak that positivity and that God language into them, and one day you're going to see the harvest of the seeds that you have been planting. So parenting is something that should never be taken lightly. I wish that I had my father growing up, because it would not have been easy for me to be seduced into the relationships. My relationships with other men were always with more those that were more dominant personalities, because I was missing that dominant fathering personality in my life, and because that was a void that I was looking to get filled, I accepted, you know, even the ones that came with abusive language and told me, you belong to me and nobody else. I accepted that because I did not have my father to affirm me and to fill those voids in my life. So that's an important aspect of parenting.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Wow, you just said a mouthful. I'm telling you, you just said a mouthful to the point. I'm just listening, and I'm telling you, I'm soaking it in as a parent myself, you know, with three sons, no father. Just listening to you helps me identify what, you know, even in my lack, even, you know, even the things I didn't do or actually wasn't even in the kingdom even to do it. And I believe, even as he's speaking, that his words are so powerful, that he's speaking under the power of God, under the anointing of God. And do you think that's a necessary tool for the household, for those that's listening that's not in the kingdom?
Oh, absolutely. Those that's listening that's not in the kingdom, those that's listening that's not in the church, parenting and affirming your children is a universal principle. You have to understand that even outside of the church, because the church does not parent my children. And I'm a pastor, you know, in the church. I'm a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the church does not parent my children. My wife and I parent our children. And so it's what happens when you're at home. And so these are just natural tactics that we are employing, as well as spiritual tactics. We employ prayer and everything like that. But on the natural side, those that are not necessarily saved, those that are not in the church, those that are not Christian, you have to understand still the importance of affirming your children. A lot of the I work for Comcast, and so a lot of the homes that I go into, it breaks my heart when I see some of these children and I see the parents, the mothers, struggling to raise these sons, and the sons are talking to their mothers any kind of way, and the mothers are accepting it because they don't know what else to do. And so it is just a natural principle of really rearing your children. What you put in them, we had this saying in my old church, we were in children's church, garbage in, garbage out. And so whatever you put into the vessel is going to come out of the vessel. And so it's the same principle with your children. Whatever I pour into my children is what's going to come out of my children. I have to believe that. Now, is that 100% the case all the time? No, because when you get older, we have free will, and so your children will make some decisions that you may not necessarily agree with or may not necessarily line up with the things that you have taught them. But you have sown enough seeds that it will always play in their mind subconsciously. They will understand right from wrong. And so you will know that they are not acting out of ignorance. They are acting out of decision. And that is the difference. We have a lot of children and young people in this generation that are just simply acting out of ignorance. You got drug dealers. You got prostitutes. You got liars. You got thieves that are simply living the way that they're living because they have not been taught a better way. So when you teach your children that there is a better way, they don't have to conform to that. My children have cousins and family members and people that are not in church, but they know the song that some of their unsaved cousins listen to and some of the things that they say. My children know that that's not how you behave because I put that in them. We don't use profanity. You don't listen to this type of music. You don't say those types of things. You don't treat your sister like this. You don't treat your brother like this. When I taught my son, when we get in the car, when we go in the house, ladies go first. And so he automatically knows now. When we go to the car, he opens the door and he waits for his sister and his little brother to get in, and then he gets in. When we're leaving the house on Sunday mornings or wherever we're going, my son is the line captain. He goes in front of his sister and his brother, and he opens the door and he leads them out to where we're going. And so I'm teaching my son to be the head. I'm teaching my son to be the leader. But I teach my daughter to follow him as his as his little sister. Follow him. That's your big brother. And so what you, it's a universal principle, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. What do you want to see out of your children? I would be shocked if I heard a parent that's not in the church or in the church say, I want my child to be a drug dealer. Or I would be shocked to say, to hear a parent that's not even saved to say, I want my children to live in poverty. That would shock me. You're not a Christian, but you understand some things are right and some things are wrong. And so you still have to live by the principle, believer or non-believer, that what you put in your children is what you will get out of them. So if you teach them right from wrong now, they will always understand this is right, this is wrong. And if they choose to go in a different way, that was their choice. It was not because you did not teach them.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. You are blessing me. For those that just tuned in, we are doing an interview with author Riley Mayberry, also known as Pastor BJ. That's what I call him at church. He's my pastor. He's one of the pastors. He's also an author. He's a father. He's the author of Slaying the Giant. And he's sharing his powerful testimony with It's All About You radio show and the world, the listeners that may be struggling, have a family member that's struggling, have children, whoever and whatever it may be. It's some wisdom that he's pouring out, that he's imparting, that we can, even if it's a coworker, you know, you can take this wisdom and share it with them, you know, especially if you have a passion for people, a desire for them to be delivered, for them to be free. Amen. He is blessing me. I don't know about anybody else, but I do say this, listeners, feel free at any given time to press 1 if you have any questions or if you like prayer, because tonight we're only doing an hour. And tonight we're giving him the hour. So if you have any questions, feel free to hit that 1 button. We'll click you right on in and allow you to have that time with Mr. Riley Mayberry. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Another question stood out to me as it relates to homosexuality. Because I want the listeners to know it's not just men, but it's men and women that's wrestling or fighting or struggling with the spirit of perversion.
Yes.
And for those that are, I want to ask you this, for those that are struggling and are trying and fighting and they may go to church and they're getting the help when they're at church, but they don't get it when they're home or when they're on their way to school or work. They're being teased. They're being talked about. Like you said, you know, you were called so many harsh names and you dealt with this spirit of rejection. That one that's listening, or what would you say to that one that's fighting, that desires to just quit and give up and accept this thing and think, well, I'm fighting, you know, and it looks like the more I fight, the more it comes at me, even the more I fight, the more they talk about me, the more I fight, you know, and their only fight is on when the church doors is open because they have no one else to fight with in their home. What kind of hope will you give that person?
Oh, my goodness. You know, that's the heart of my struggle when struggling with homosexuality. My mother, I think she suspected it, and she became very angry about it because she was afraid that people would blame her for it. And so in turn, as I got older and I became more active in the lifestyle and more active in things like pornography and calling chat lines and talking to other guys, as I became more active in that life, my mother began to reject me and began to use harsh language towards me. And so I was experiencing the backlash at home and now in school, because at this point I'm in high school and Now I'm experiencing this backlash all around me. The church that I went to, it hurts me so bad because I watched other effeminate young men walk around the church, and I saw how the older men and the ministers would look at them and would ridicule them. And so for me, for someone who's trying to suppress this struggle and trying to hide it, I felt like I had nowhere to turn, because if I had told them at the church that this is what I was struggling with, would I become the subject of ridicule here? If I told my mother openly that this is what I'm dealing with, is she going to put me out of her house and not allow me to stay there? So I felt like I didn't have anywhere else to turn or anywhere else to go. And so what I would say to those that are feeling the same way, oftentimes we are afraid to identify with the emotions and the feelings that we have at any given moment. I would encourage you, when it hurts, to say it hurts. When you are feeling alone, say, I feel like I'm alone. But also, when you are determined to get free from this lifestyle, and if you want to turn around and be free from this lifestyle, call on God in those times and be honest with God and say, listen, God, this hurts right now. Everybody's talking about me. I feel like I'm in this alone. I feel like I cannot do this. God, I need you to help me. I'm going to tell you that when you call out to God and when you cry out to God, he will respond. And so I learned that when I was in the heart of my struggle. I got in this relationship with this guy, and we had started, we become emotionally entangled, and we had started talking, and it had gotten so, our relationship had gotten so deep that we had started planning to move to another state and start another life and just leave everything else behind and start all over again. And so my mind was so wrapped up and messed up in this that I felt like, oh, my God, I'm at a point where I will never get out of this. There's no turning back now. And I remember crying out to God one day, and I said, God, I don't have the strength in me to fight this thing anymore. I don't have the strength in me to move past this relationship. I don't have the strength in me to tell this guy, no, I can't do this. I need you to help me. And when I tell you I had such an encounter with God, I was on my way to work. I was actually sitting in the parking lot at work, and I remember grabbing the steering wheel, and I felt the presence of God respond to my cry that I was growing weary, and I felt God wrap his love around me, and he said, son, I'm right here when you are ready. And when I tell you that God began to progressively and instantly begin to break ties between me and this other guy, but not only just him, but other relationships that I had developed, God had began to break ties and separate us, made it so much so that the guy that I had planned on moving away with ended up quitting the job that we were working together on, and I never ended up seeing him again. We talked a few times after that, but God blessed me to get another job after that, and I was able to completely leave that life behind, but I still had some mindsets, some mentalities that I had to fight. But there were many days where I became weary and felt like I could not get through it. I cannot credit anybody else but Jesus Christ and his power with grabbing hold of me and giving me the strength that I needed. I would cry sometimes in the night hour when nobody else knew that I was hurting. Nobody else knew that I was crying. Nobody else knew the emotional pain that I was in. I would just cry out to God and say, God, you got to help me. But it was the power of God, and it was my unwillingness to give up. So even in all of the hard times, I still had a desire to see that freedom. I still had a desire to be free from this lifestyle. And so even when the temptations came and I felt like I was going to give in and I felt like I was going to fall, and sometimes I did fall, but I got back up and I experienced the love of God and the power of God and my own determination to walk away from this lifestyle. So I would say to anybody that's feeling hopeless, don't ever give up. God's hand is not too short to reach you wherever you are. If you cry out to him, he'll be faithful to respond.
Wow. Wow. Amen. Wow. Well, we have a caller that called in. Is she on? Is the caller on, Dennis?
Can you hear me?
Okay. Okay, hello, how are you?
Denise.
I'm fine. Hey, okay. Tiffany, how are you?
Okay. God bless you, Denise. God bless you. How are you? I don't know if you just tuned in, if you heard us,
yeah,
but we're on the show with with the powerful man of God, you have a question for him or
I
a remark or prayer or anything?
Yeah, I just want to tell him that he is so right. The heart, my heart goes out to people that are in a homosexual lifestyle too, because people are so easy to judge people and point the finger at people and say, this is not right, you're going to hell, blah, blah, this. Why would they even open up and tell you, ask you to pray for them when they already know they're going to be judged? And I cried out to God and I asked God, I said, we are the people on earth. We judge people righteously. We don't supposed to judge people unrighteously. And I was like, Lord, I said, show me how to minister to homosexuals. Show me, because most of them have been rejected, or it's an iniquity, or they have been abused, or, you know, it can be even a bloodline curse. And I said, Lord, show me how to show them love and minister to them Christ, where it can be effective. And this is so amazing what you're saying, and that is so true. Just through love and us praying for them and ministering to them, not telling them that they just have this scar, like they're just nasty and something is wrong with you. And I had a chance to speak with a young lady who was in a homosexual lifestyle. Very strong. She was the man in the relationship, the masculine one in the relationship. And I brought her to my table, and I brought her in my house, and I ministered to her, and I loved on her, and of course I prayed before I did this, and I made sure it was well with God. But you could tell her, me just showing her love, that it was breaking down that hardness. And then I began to minister to her, and I said, you know, everybody has an iniquity in their life. An iniquity is a bent sin towards something. You could look at one family, they all alcoholics. You could look at another family, they're all, you know, a lot of men in there commit adultery. You could look at one family member, family, and they all do drugs. I said, everybody's iniquity, everybody was born in iniquity. And I said, everybody has an iniquity within in them. Mine may be lust. His may be anger and murder. Hers may be rage. I said, but Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. And I said, yours can be homosexuality, whether it came from you just being formed in a womb. You know, we was all born in iniquity. You know what I'm saying? And I said, or it came through molestation or abuse or something that tragic that happened in your past. I said, but God can heal those things, you know. And I began to tell her, everything you feel, that's not your identity. You know, your feelings and your emotions will lie to you. You know, we find out who we are in Christ and in truth, not in our emotions. So when you say, I feel this way, you may feel this way, but the truth is you were not made that way. Let's start looking into truth and find out the blueprint of how you was made and what you was made for and how you're supposed to be, you know.
Amen.
And she was just open just to be healed, and it made my soul cry, because it was like, oh, my God, everybody just point their finger, and half of them don't even want to be that way. That's why they want to commit suicide, and they reject God, and because everybody pointing their finger at them saying, and you nasty, and you this, and you shouldn't have no fags in the church. And I'm like, oh, my God, what are you all doing? So if this person goes home and commits suicide right now, preach love to them. Show them that it's a way out. Disciple them. Tell them that a man is supposed to stand up like this. Tell them that a man don't supposed to talk like this or put his hand like this. Show them how to be masculine. You know, disciple them out of love. Don't do that. So I just want to just lift you up, man of God, and I just want to say I thank God for you. You are a demonstration on earth. I tell my children that all the time. You all are demonstrations of God's kingdom, his will, his power, and of his purpose. And I thank you for being a demonstration. I thank you for being a demonstration. That's all I want to say.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. You're absolutely right. It's love that's going to reach. I'm asking God today, give me the key to unlock the heart of the hardest homosexual and lesbian, the ones that believe there is no hope for them, the one that's been rejected by the church. That's who I want. I want the ones that's been turned away by the church, the ones that the church said, we can't help you. God, give me the key to unlock their heart. And I believe the first part to that key is going to be love and truth. And so absolutely, thank you so much for that.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Amen. Well, I want to ask you one more question. I really want to speak in reference to your powerful wife that walks side by side with you, that I thank God you just speak so highly of, and I'm grateful for that because, you know, you don't hear too many men, you know, that they think that the wife's so hard on them, but she sees the greatness in you. What would you say to your wife and about your wife and for the wives that are listening that that may have not pressed the one button, that may be embarrassed, that may be ashamed to come forth and say, well, it's me you're talking to. It's me that, you know, that's dealing with this. It's me that needs the help. It's my household. I need you to let us know how your wife came forth in your life with this walk.
Amen. Amen. My wife and I are high school sweethearts. We went to high school together, and so we actually began dating in high school. And I don't say this lightly, but my wife was actually the first real relationship with the opposite sex that I had. She was actually the first girlfriend that I actually ever seriously wanted and saw a future, saw myself having a future with. My wife was aware of my struggle in the beginning of our relationship, and I remember going to her one day and saying, you know what, I think we should stop seeing each other. I'm still struggling with some things, and so I don't want to drag you into this. Maybe we can start talking again once I'm done dealing with this. And we can just go from there, but right now it's not a good idea. And my wife, well, she was my girlfriend at the time. She was upset. She was hurt. By the time I made it home, she called me back and she said, I know what it is you're struggling with. She said, let me ask you a question. Do you want to be free from it? And I said, well, yes, of course I want to be free from it. And she said to me, as long as you're willing to fight and as long as you don't ever give up, I won't give up on you. And from that point forward, we have been inseparable. Even when after we got married and I was still active in my struggle with homosexuality, people say all the time, how did you stay? They ask her all the time, how did you stay? How did you deal with that, knowing it? And my wife always said, and it still amazes me, she always said, I believe in him. I believe that he wanted to be free. I knew how difficult this journey was going to be, but when I made my covenant with him, I desired not to break it because I knew he was serious about wanting to be free from this. My wife endured much hardship. My wife endured much pain at my hand. My wife endured much emotional abuse, much verbal abuse at my hand, through my mouth, but she prayed. My wife was a praying woman. She fasted. She talked to our pastor, Apostle Stevenson. She, you know, we were all very close, and so she maintained communication with him. But my wife remained strong. She never lied to me. My wife always told me the truth about how she was feeling. But to the woman that may be struggling or knowing that your husband is struggling and you don't know what to do, you made a covenant with him and a commitment with him. Be honest with him. Ask him, do you want to be free from this? And if you really want to be free from this and you are never going to give up the fight, then I'm not going to give up on you. But you have to bury yourself in the presence of God. You have to pray. You have to fast. You have to read your Bible. To the men, the husbands that are struggling with this, and you don't know how to have the courage to say, I'm struggling with this. To the ministers that may be struggling with this, and you don't have the courage to say, I'm dealing with these attractions. Maybe I've never been in a relationship with anyone, but I'm struggling with same-sex attractions. Listen, you can be free from this as long as you have the will and the desire to be free. Develop that relationship with God. Develop that prayer.
with God and say, listen, God, I want to be free from this. And don't ever give up on yourself. The greatest tactic of the enemy is to make us feel hopeless. And if he can get you to give up on yourself, then you ain't got nobody else around you. You done gave up on yourself, then how was everybody else around you supposed to believe in you? And so I would say don't ever give up on yourself, but to the wives that desire to stand by their husbands, continue to pray. Continue to cover him. Cover yourself. Continue to speak life over him. Continue to speak life over you all's relationship and ability to remain strong and come against reproach and everything else that you guys may be struggling with. It's a hard thing and it's a hard task, but it's not too hard for God.
Wow. And this is a powerful testimony. So this is powerful. I'm just so grateful to even know you all. You ain't